If the dog does not do well in the area of potty training, it doesn't matter how beautiful the dog is. It doesn't matter how much you like its personality. That one little issue can become such a hassle. So how do we address potty training? Well, there are a couple of different ways to do this. Most people, myself included, I like to put the dog on a schedule. I firmly believe that animals, dogs, just like us, have the ability to hold it. And I firmly believe that that is the case, that I know they can hold it. I know they can hold it just like I can hold it. If I have to go, I don't just go. If I have the urge to go, I don't just go, well, that's too bad. I'm eating breakfast at this restaurant and now I'm just going to piss myself. I know you don't do it. I know in general, we accept that as socially acceptable behavior. We have to go, we wait for the appropriate time, and we go. What happens is when it comes to our dogs, we just have this belief that they're incredibly helpless and that they don't have the ability to hold it, when in fact, they really can do that. Going back to the couple of ways to address this, one way, put them on a strict schedule. Meaning, don't leave it up to chance. You basically tell them from the very beginning, you teach them, these are the times you go, this is your opportunity to go, and now it's inappropriate to go. So when we're in the house, when you're in a crate, it's inappropriate to go. When you have the opportunity to go, that's the time to go. So the best way to start this is when they are young, when as soon as you get them. Sometimes you adopt adult dogs. We completely understand that. And you don't know the baggage, right? We really don't know it. So we're kind of crossing our fingers, flipping the coin, and hoping, God, I hope this dog is clean. And sometimes that's not the case. But in either event, we want to be able to tell the dog, look, when we go out there for potty, that's it. That's your time. When I bring you inside, that's not your time. When we have a young dog, this is the best way to mold them into that. This is the best way to teach them to hold it. Now, how do we actually teach them to hold it? You can't really tell them, hey, I need you to hold it for a few hours. I need you to hold it for like another 20 minutes. We can't really actually say that to them. To a child, you can. You can tell that to a person. This is how we learn. We learn that it is inappropriate to just pee yourself, right? We learn that it is embarrassing to just go, oh my God, I got to go now and I'm going to have to go because I just have this urge. At some point in our childhood, we learn either through experience or by somebody repeatedly telling us, right? You need to hold it. Okay, now you got to go. You need to hold it. Okay, now you got to go. But how do we do this with our dogs? Very simple. We just put them in a space where it would be uncomfortable for them to go. Now, the best space for this is a crate. It's a crate, meaning they have just enough space for them. Like, I'm not going to put a dog this size in a crate this big because there is so much space in there that the dog has the ability to go, I'm going to take a piss over there. I can take a shit over here, but then over here, I'm going to be nice and clean. This is one of the mistakes a lot of people make is that they want their dogs to be comfortable, so they get a giant crate, right? Or when they have a puppy, they go, okay, well, he's going to be 80 pounds when he grows up, so I'm going to get him a crate for an 80-pound dog. Well, the problem with that is in the process of this puppy becoming 80 pounds, it's going to go from here to here to here, and then it's going to be 80 pounds. But if you put him in a crate right away that is rated for an 80-pound dog, you, again, have that extra space where the puppy can go. I can go there, 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 there. A lot of times, that's the problem. The owners put the dog in an inappropriately sized crate where the dog has the option to do that. Dogs, in general, don't want to pee or poop in their immediate space. They are very clean animals in general. They don't like to actually do that. So given the option of them doing it in their immediate space or doing it outside, they're going to do it outside. That's normally what happens. However, if they don't have the opportunity to go outside as often, that's another problem. Or if they have a big crate where there is possibly an option to relieve yourself, you know, a little bit farther that way, well, you can stay nice and clean here. A lot of times they'll take that opportunity. Not to mention that young dogs, if you're working with a young dog, puppies, their bladder is not fully developed to hold their movements, right? Their muscles are not fully developed like an adult. So they don't have as much control of their movements as an adult does. In this case, the best thing to do is to get a crate properly sized for that dog. If you have to get a few crates while your dog is growing up, that is actually what you have to do. Some crates do give you the option to put spacers. So even if you get an 80-pound crate, you could get spacers, basically block out a certain amount of space for that dog as it grows up. That's another option that's great, but that is one good way to do it. And honestly, it is, in my opinion, the best way to do it. It is the best way to teach a dog. Hold it, okay, go. Hold it, okay, go. Now, one mistake that a lot of pet owners also make is when they go, okay, well, it's time to go. They'll open the door. The puppy will go. They don't supervise the dog. They don't keep an eye on it. And they assume because the dog is outside, it's just going to go. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. If you look at young dogs, their attention span is so short. It's just so all over the place that you'll notice even if they have to do something, they'll get distracted by other things. Even if they're hungry, they can easily get distracted by something else. Even if they really have to go, they'll get distracted by something else. This obviously depends on the temperament, the character of each animal, but in general, the young dogs are like that. So if you just take the puppy out and you go, hey, go ahead and go, and you don't watch it, you just give it full free run of your entire yard, they're gonna get distracted. They're going to go, that smells good, that smells good. I wonder what that is. And then the last thing in their mind is to go pee. And sometimes they will go and sometimes they won't. And then you think, okay, well, it's been about 10 minutes or so, time to bring the puppy in. And then when you bring the puppy in, that's when the puppy goes, oh crap, I really had to go. And now they have an accident in your rug, in the crate, wherever, right? So that's why you have to supervise them. You have to do it on leash. You have to let the puppy know, look, we're only going to this spot, nowhere else. Another mistake people make is they take the dog out or the puppy out and they'll go for a walk. They'll go, hey, you're going to go potty. We might as well take you for a walk. That is a huge, huge mistake. When you take that dog for a walk while it's a potty break, then typically what people do is they'll go for the walk, the puppy or the dog will potty, and then they'll come right back inside. Well, the dog very quickly learns, way before you do, the dog learns. You know what I notice is when we go for our walks, the moment I relieve myself, we go back inside. The dog picks up on that. And then what happens? Your walks will get longer and longer and longer. And I've had people, clients tell me, you know, I take him for a walk and he used to just go at the end of the driveway, but then he stopped going. Then I had to go to the end of the street. And then like now he's holding it for like an entire walk, like a whole block we're going before he has to go. And it's becoming really annoying. Well, what happened in those instances, it seems simple as I bring it to your attention, as I expose it, right, from a different perspective. But when it's happening to you, you don't realize that the dog is actually training you, right? The dog has learned the longer I hold it, the longer my walk. So if you're going to implement the walks with the potty breaks, the best option, the best way to do it is to have them go potty first, then go for the walk. Because then what happens is they learn the sooner I go potty, the sooner I relieve myself, the sooner we go for the walk. Okay, that is the best way to do it. Avoid at all costs taking him on the walk so that he could go potty. That is a dangerous game. Very, very bad. And it will create a lot of problems for you. Now, another option is the bell. I'm not a fan of it. I'm a little bit opposed to it as a person, as a dog owner myself. And I'll tell you why. But I'm going to go over that in a moment. So with the bell, you actually teach the dog to let you know that they have to go. So essentially, you teach them to target something that will be of an auditory nature to let you know, hey, I have to go. Now, this could be literally a bell, like a little cowbell, or anything that will make sounds, right? So the way to do this is you basically teach the dog to touch the target over and over and over. You don't really put it in the context of pottying because that can take a very long time. It could work. Anything could work, by the way. But I'm just telling you from experience, the best way to do it is you first teach them, here's the item, here's the bell, here's the touchpad, whatever it is. And every time you touch it, something good happens. Every time you touch it, something good happens. Every time you touch it, something good happens. We can do this through shaping, which is my favorite way to do it. Meaning, I'm not going to lure the dog. I'm not going to boop his nose with the bell. I'm just going to put it there. And every time the dog looks at it, every time the dog leans toward it, every time the dog accidentally touches it, they're going to get paid with food. And then the dog learns, oh, I'm getting it. Every time I touch it, I get paid. I touch it, I get paid. And then what I do from there is, after I'm done holding it, then I put the bell somewhere else. So I put the bell like away from me. So instead of me holding it now, I put it somewhere else. I can put it directly on the location where it's going to be. So if it's going to be near the door, then it goes near the door. And when I put it there, it's going to be at nose level. I don't want it to be so high that the dog has to jump up and scratch the door. I don't want it to be so low that it's a little bit difficult. It has to be right around nose level to make it easier for the dog. So then when I put it there, then it goes from my hand to that. And now the dog basically has to relearn a little bit. Basically, we're generalizing. The dog is going from it's on your hand, you're touching it, to now I have to go there, touch it, and then I get paid. We do that over and over and over to generalize that concept. The dog's still getting paid. Once the dog becomes familiar with that, then what we'll do is I'll still pay the dog, but to teach the dog that it's not just about touching the bell, but it's about touching the bell, then opening the door, then getting paid, that connects the bell to the door. Because up until that point, they're just touching it to get paid. But now we're going to pair it up to the door opening, meaning we're going to put it there, you're going to touch the bell, we're going to open the door, then you're going to get paid. So to do this, what I'll do is instead of me having the reward, I'll put the reward outside. So if I'm using treats, I'll put the treats outside, like a couple of treats at a time. I'll kind of hold on to the dog. I'll put the treats outside. I'll close the door. I'll have the dog ring the bell. When they ring the bell, instead of me paying them, I open the door and now they can get paid. They can help themselves out there. So this teaches the dog, the bell opens the door. And when the door opens, I get paid. This is still learning. The dog's still learning how to do this. Now, to generalize past that point, because this is still learning, if anything, this is the generalization phase, right? The dog is going, I'm learning it. Now I'm applying it in different contexts. But now how do we seal the deal? How do we make it so the dog becomes proficient? Well, at that point, when the dog understands, ringing the bell opens the door, that's how I get paid, then now we have to pull back a little bit, meaning now it's not just going to be like this fun session where every time you touch it, you're going to get paid. Now we are actually going to withhold some of that payment and we're going to narrow down when we want that bell to be rung, right? So a lot of dogs like to go outside. A lot of dogs love it, right? They just love to go outside. It's rewarding in itself. So what happens is when we go outside, when we're getting ready to go outside for either a walk or a potty break, a play session, then what I'll do is, remember the bell is already there, I will require the dog to touch the bell, right? So I'll just kind of wait. The dog will be like, are we training? What are we doing here? So what we do is we just wait. And then if the dog goes, you know what, let me try the bell. They ring the bell. I'm going to mark it with a good boy, right? Or yes, something to let them know you did great. I open the door, free. Now the dog goes, oh my God, I opened the door. Now I get to go outside, which that in itself is a reward, right? For most dogs. Now, if you don't have that dog that likes to go outside, it's very few. Some dogs are like, you know, they don't want to go out there. So if that's the case, then I'll just do a lot of good experiences outside. So a lot of feeding outside till outside becomes desirable. If you have the type of dog that hates to go outside, that's where we would start. But for most of the dogs, we basically let them know, you touch that bell, we go out. right? We go out, you get to potty, you get to play a little bit, you get to hang out, and then we come back in. That's how we then teach the dog, when you want to go out there, you go. Now, for us to really, really seal the deal, for us to really let the dog know, hey, only for potty, right? Once we've done the ring the bell, we go outside. You ring the bell, we'll go outside. Once we pass that, we have to, again, pull back a little bit more and go, okay, now it's not going to be every time. Now what's going to happen is we're going to go back to our schedule. Okay, it always goes back to that, right? It has to go back to that. We're going to go back to our schedule. When I have a pretty good idea of when you're more likely to go potty, so usually in the morning, right? Usually in the morning they have to go. So I know that the first time you go out in the morning, you're very, very likely, it's almost certain that you're going to go potty. So what we do is we go to the door, and by then the dog will probably beat you to it. The dog will probably start ringing the bell, right? Perfect. We go out, potty. We bring the dog back inside after they had a good time out there for a little bit. We bring him back in, and then you will notice the following. When they don't have to go potty, they will start ringing the bell. Because you've built such a reward history with ringing that bell. You made it so valuable, which you had to, honestly. But you've made it so valuable that now the dog goes, oh, the bell, I'm going to ring the bell. I might get paid and I might go outside. But this is where we kind of go back to our schedule and we go, look, you just went potty. You're ringing the bell because you're trying to get paid, right? You're trying to go out there. You're trying to get me to give you some treats. I understand what you're doing, but you're not going to get paid. So we're doing now a little bit of withholding. We're not fully using extinction, but what we're doing is we're putting the ringing of the bell now more on an intermittent schedule. So instead of them just ringing the bell and getting paid either with treats or going out every time, now we let the dog know, I know you don't have to go. You just went. I know you're ringing the bell because you have such a reward history, but now we're not going to pay you every time. So the dog is going to go through that possible period of frustration and go, I don't get it. We've done this like hundreds, if not thousands of times. What's happening now? So what will happen is there will be a little bit of extinction, right? Where the dog will go, well, I guess I'm not ringing that bell anymore, right? A little bit of extinction will take place. But then when you go back to, it's about time to go potty, come on, go ring the bell. Now you elicit that spontaneous recovery. When the dog will ring that bell, the dog will go out and get rewarded. And so the dog, again, might try, okay, I knew it worked. So it's going to ring, 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 ring. And you go, we're not paying you for that. So essentially what you do is you now go to rewarding the bell on an intermittent schedule of reinforcement, right? So you basically let the dog know when you ring the bell, sometimes you're going to get paid. And that payment doesn't have to be food. At that point, we've transitioned the food reward to just going out there. Because if you don't do that, what will happen, and some people experience this, and this is the reason I personally am not a fan of the bell, is because what will happen with every dog, as they go through the process I just explained, they will start ringing. You're going to go through that period of they're just going to BS you around. They're going to be like, ding, 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 right? They're going to do that because of the reward history. So you have to inevitably kind of go through that period of, no, 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 it's not every time. It's only at certain times, and those times are when you have to go potty. Then the dog makes that connection. But it is a process. The dog goes from, I get a lot of rewards every time I touch that bell. Then I get rewards when that bell is away from you and I still have to touch it and get paid. Then the reward is outside. So when I ring the bell, the door opens, the reward is out there. Then the reward is outside. That's the reward. Going out is the reward. And then after that, the reward happens on an intermittent schedule, meaning we're not just going to go out there. We're going to go out there at certain times. So the dog then makes that connection. It's around my potty schedules that I get to ring the bell and go out there. That's the entire process in a nutshell. And this is how we use that method of potty training, is by letting the dog tell us when they have to go. Why I don't like it, I myself, again, I'm more of a, you can hold it. I'm a responsible dog owner. So I'm going to keep tabs on you the entire time. I'm going to look out for you. I'm not one of those people, and I'm not judging, but I'm not one of those people that I'm so busy with a thousand other things that my dogs have to tell me they have to go. I'm very aware of my dog's schedule. They go out, they train, they play. So they go out so many times that they know, they learn out there is where we get to go potty. Now I'm going to put a little bit of a side note to this video, and that is dirty dogs. Dirty dogs are different. Let's go back to the crate. So when I told you earlier that dogs in general are clean animals, that is in fact the case. Dogs do not want to be dirty. They don't like to be pissing and shitting in their own space. They don't like to step on their own pee. They get very uncomfortable. If you've ever seen a dog pee in its crate, that it's not normal for them to do it, you'll see that they'll pee and they're like very uncomfortable. They're way in the back of the crate, or they're just standing because they don't want to be near it, right? That's what happens. Generally speaking, dogs don't like to pee in their space. If you have the appropriate size crate, meaning if you have a crate that's just big enough for them to stand and turn around, which is the right size crate, by the way, if you have that type of crate, most dogs are going to hold it, right? Except for the dirty dogs. The dirty dogs are the ones that they don't care. Like, they are literally okay laying and sitting and sleeping on their own urine, on their own crap. They're okay with it. It's not that they love it. They don't love it, but they're okay with it. So what happens with these dogs is they were raised in an environment where during the whelping stage, during the first 6 weeks of their lives, or the first 16 weeks of their lives, they were forced to basically live in a box with, like, usually with their litter mates. You see this a lot of times with puppy mills, where, you know, the puppies are all in a box. They're literally pissing and shitting on each other. They're stepping on their own shit. So this happens at such a young age that they don't know any better. It's not like they learn to love it. They just don't know any better. To them, that's normal. You're supposed to pee where you're sleeping because that's how they were raised the first 6 weeks, or sometimes the first 16 weeks of their lives. That period of time, really the first 20 weeks of their lives, is incredibly important. So the first 6 weeks of their lives, before they go to their owners, like if they're being bred, right? If you're acquiring this puppy from a breeder, that's how you know if your breeder dropped the ball or if your breeder is responsible or irresponsible. When you take the puppy home, and even if you are very diligent with their potty breaks, they frequently piss themselves in the crate. So when I get the puppy home, I'm taking that puppy out every hour, and then eventually every 2 hours, and then eventually every 3 hours, and then eventually every 5 hours, okay? But even if that schedule is maintained, and, you know, accidents happen, by the way, just because your puppy had an accident in the crate doesn't mean, oh, crap, I got a crappy dog, it's a dirty dog, and the breeder was crap. It doesn't mean that. Most dogs are going to have accidents at some point in their lives, especially when they're young. It's when it happens continuously, when you're so diligent about your schedule that it doesn't matter, they're still doing it continuously. That's when you know, well, this is happening so frequently, it's almost like it doesn't bother him. That's when you have that suspicion of this dog is dirty. And I've seen that. I've seen dogs that you could be diligent with their schedule all you want, but because of the way they were raised, the way that their lives were maintained for the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks of their lives, where they were forced to be in a crate, forced to, like, through no fault of their own, right? Like, they had a crate, all the litter mates were just thrown in there, and they were there for hours and hours and hours, like hours, just pissing and shitting on each other, right? they don't have a choice. They learn to accept it and they go, this must be normal. And then when you take them apart and then you, you know, take them to their families, they maintain that behavior where they go, it's normal for me to just piss here, right? So that's what happens, and that's what we call a dirty dog. Now, a dirty dog is not a dog that just pees in your house, by the way. Like if your dog, this is a misconception that people sometimes have. Sometimes people sort of understand what a dirty dog is, but they don't fully understand it. So they'll go, oh, the dog peed in the living room. He must be a dirty dog. No, that doesn't mean it's a dirty dog. That dog might be very clean. It just decided to piss in your living room. That's different, okay? Dirty dog only means when you put them in their space, will they pee and crap themselves even if you're diligent with your schedule? If the answer is, yeah, they don't care, you very likely have a dirty dog. Another misconception is when you see the puppy out there and, you know, they see a dog pee somewhere or they see even poop and they rub themselves on it, people go, that's a dirty dog. That's a misconception. That is not a dirty dog. That's just a dog that wants to rub the smell of piss and crap on themselves, right? That's different. That's not a dirty dog. So a dirty dog is very specific to that. Now, the obvious question here is, well, great. Damn it, I have a dirty dog. How do we address that? It is difficult. It is a challenge. And it's one of these where you're going to have to basically maintain. Fortunately, there aren't that many. But when it does happen, you just have to be so incredibly diligent. And you have to basically go, I'm going to be consistent with the potty breaks. But on top of that, I'm going to do some other things. What I've seen a lot of people do is they just kind of deal with it. Just go, damn it, this freaking dirty dog. Either they get rid of the dog or they just make the dog an outside dog, which is fine. That's a great option. I personally like to address it. As much of a pain as it is. Now, another side note to the video in regards to dirty dogs. Your dog might be a very clean dog. Your breeder might have been an excellent breeder. But when you take that puppy home and you just shut that crate and that puppy spends most of the day in the crate where it's holding it as much as it can, but it can't possibly hold it any longer because you are neglecting the potty breaks. You're neglecting taking the puppy out, the puppy will have no choice but to go in their crates. They're going to be very uncomfortable. But what will happen is over time, that discomfort will go away. They will habituate to the discomfort. They will habituate to them pissing in their crates. That happens when pet owners are incredibly neglectful with the potty training, which most owners are not. Most people are actually pretty good about this. But occasionally, there are some people that I don't know why they get puppies. They think it's going to be easy. Then it turns out that it isn't. So the puppy spends most of the day in a crate. And obviously, they don't have a choice. They can hold it as long as they can, but they'll eventually go. They'll be uncomfortable as hell. But over a period of time, they'll get less and less uncomfortable. And pretty soon, they become dirty dogs because the dog owner neglected that, not because of the breeder. So a lot of times it's caused by the breeder. In some instances, it's caused by the owners. And I've seen them both.